philosophies in my experience and my experiment. Hello. It has been a while, hasn't it? Yes, it has. It has been a while. Things have been pretty coasting the last 6 months. I actually thought to myself just last week, wow, things are good consistently. And I don't mean that in a like, I'm having no existential moments of crisis. I am, but that's being human. But I haven't had any massive life shit, which if you've been around here for a while, you'll know life has thrown me quite a bit of shit. So it was just nice to have some smooth coasting for a while, and I wasn't taking it for granted. You know, this new job has been such a blessing, such a fucking blessing. I absolutely adore working on Darling Shine. The girls are just so wonderful, so kind, so generous, and it's like, it's such a fun job. I really feel like I landed on my feet in this role. And I'm still doing my private stuff, working on a couple of other shows, which is, you know, filling the, I guess, the shortfall of just being casually employed. But it's working for me too. So just, you know, things were kind of coasting. So today I want to talk about a couple of things. One is I'm about to undergo an assessment for autism. So I want to speak a little bit about that and my experience. But before I do that, I just want to share something that really, I don't even know how to explain it. Like, you know, talk about a bomb going off in your life. So things have been good. They've been coasting for as well as they can be, you know, like, like I said, not without daily struggle, but just, you know, things have been good. Having something to focus my attention on, having routine and structure, knowing what's required of me has just really been helpful for my well-being. And I'm so grateful for this. And for this job, you know, it's just really helped me immensely. So that's all good. Monday. So my parents have been on a holiday every year. I mean, besides the years that they've been locked down, I don't know, you know, those years that just are some kind of time fucking vortex that we don't even really feel like existed. You know, it went from 2020 to 2023, and well, what happened in that space, I don't know. I feel like I was 42 and then all of a sudden I'm 46 and I'm kind of like, hang on, what happened to the 43, 44, 45? I mean, on top of the pandemic, I obviously had Miko's heart stuff to navigate, and that was a, you know, quite an extended period of trauma. So, you know, it's probably good reason that I kind of just feel like I woke up and I'm 46. My birthday was in July. Happy birthday to me a few weeks ago, and had a great time. Anyway, okay, back to the story at hand. My parents do this caravanning trip every year. They've got a little A-van and they kind of just go out and explore parts of Australia that they haven't seen. And they hadn't been as far north, or they hadn't been to Darwin. They've done some of the Kimberley and stuff on other trips, but they wanted to get to Darwin. So they did that trip up to Darwin in their van, and then they kind of came around northwest Queensland and down to the Sunshine Coast, and at the weekend, they landed in Brunswick Heads. So Brunswick Heads is one of my parents' favourite places. I lived there for a number of years. Miko and I got married there. Mum and Dad love it. Every time they go on a holiday, they end up in Brunswick Heads for a week. It's like their favourite place. Just checking that I'm recording. Yes, I am. A bit scattered. So, okay. So took Mum to Writers Festival to the kids' day out on Sunday. It was so fun. Mabel loves it. We went this year. We'll go again. Like, absolutely love it. They've got these. It's really fantastic. It's only like $40 for one adult and child. And they've got this whole kids section set up. So kids authors come and talk about their books and kind of do fun activities and workshops and stuff. And it's just a really great experience. Mabes loves it. So I took Mum to that. And then Monday, I was just working, went to Bod Squad. sitting outside the dance studio waiting for Mabel to finish her acro, and the phone rings and it's Mum, and I'm like, hey Mum, how are you going? And she's like, not good, not good. I'm like, what's going on? Dad's gone missing. I'm like, what do you mean Dad's gone missing? Well, he went for a swim early in the afternoon and he hasn't come back, and like, it's dark. And so she rang the police and they found him in Tweed Hospital. He had been hit by a car. At that point, we had no other information other than the police found him at Tweed Hospital. So I'm like, Mum, I'm coming to get you. We're going to the hospital. So drive up there just in like, first of all, I run into Mabel's dance class and I'm like, Mabel, we have to go. Pa's been hit by a car. She fucking just loses it. No, Pa, no, Pa. You're crying all the way home. I'm just like, I don't even know how I'm functioning or driving, but I am. And then I drop Mabes, I jump in the car, I go pick up Mum. A couple of times I noticed how like I was hyper focused and just like the grip on the wheel, I could feel like my fingernails are quite long and they were basically making holes in my fucking palm. Grab Mum, get to the hospital, and sitting in emergency just waiting for them to call us and like stressing out. And he's been hit by a car and he is very bruised and battered, very, very lucky not to have any broken bones or major damage to his organs. He has a severe concussion and he's had some amnesia related to that, which is kind of to be expected. It was a horrific accident. So he has broken the windscreen with his head and then landed on the asphalt on his head, like serious. And he had two little bleeds on his brain, but otherwise bruised and battered and okay. And he's basically in hospital under observation until his, you know, cognitive functioning kind of comes back up. They do this test where they ask kind of like 12 questions and they have to get 12 answers correct for 3 days in a row, and then they'll release the patient. And so the first day he got 4 and yesterday he got 8. So, so he's improving, which is great. And today he remembered more things. Like, he didn't know, every time he'd kind of wake up, he'd be like, where am I? You know, and now he's like, oh, that's right, I had an accident. He remembered that one of his best friends is in hospital and he asked about him. So his short-term memory is starting to come back online. God, he's a character, my dad. So my mum is often an anxious mess because when she was 9, she watched her best friend get killed in a car accident in front of her, and that has really affected her life, obviously. You know, I've had to say to Mabel, when we're around cars, you have to be really careful if Nana is there, because Nana's very anxious about people that she loves getting hit by a car. And it's been her worst fear for 60 years. And it happened again, you know? Like, what are the fucking odds? So, you know, this has been really hard on Mum, but she is coping. And I mean, it's so lucky it's not lucky at all, but there are little aspects where it is quite lucky. So, firstly, that it happened here, near me. You know, I'm 20 minutes down the road. So I've been able to, well, not from Tweed Heads, but from Bruns. We've been able to get Mum and Dad's van, move it back to our house, pick up Mum, bring her back here. So when she comes back from the hospital, she's with family and, you know, and we can kind of, she can watch TV with us and just kind of chill, rather than being like, imagine if she was in the back of fucking nowhere in some small country hospital, which I don't think, they probably would have airlifted him somewhere. But, you know, like, what would she have done then? Like, at least here she has me and my family here to help support her. So so that is really lucky, but also really lucky that Dad's injuries aren't worse. Very, very lucky. So We are just crossing all our fingers that he will come back on board fully. Getting a little bit emotional. I have hardly cried because I'm just kind of distracting my – I have cried, but like distracting myself with work and finding it really helping. But every now and then, you know, just a little wave comes of concern because the brain is not something you want to fuck around with, right? And oh, so – Dad's where he needs to be and he's getting the care that he needs, and they are fairly confident he will make a full recovery. So I'm just crossing everything that that is the case, and he goes on to live a really long, you know, healthy, happy life, because he's a very active man and slowing down is not something that would be good for him. So, I mean, he's going to have to slow down for now, but like hopefully he can get back to full speed ahead and, you know, they can travel on, but it'll probably be a few weeks before that happens. Anyway, Dad's sense of humor, right? So we turn up at the hospital. We are kind of a bit beside ourselves, but just like kind of, you know, that feeling of just being really in shock, like not really, not, I don't know, like it's like a, it's kind of like that feeling when you're stunned into submission. I've spoken about that before. It's just like a, you know, like, I can't really explain it in words. It's a feeling. And anyway, Dad was asleep and he opened his eyes and he was like, oh, g'day, Carly. And I was like, hey, Dad, how you doing? And he's like, oh, yeah, all right. And then Mum taps him on the shoulder and she's like, Gray. And he looks over and gives her this look of confusion. And she's like, Gray, I'm here. And he's looking at her and he's looking at her kind of confused. And then she's like, Graham, do you know who I am? Because the doctor had told him that, told Mum and I that Dad had a bit of amnesia. And so Dad looks at her and he's kind of looking at her like, oh, who are you? And then Mum starts to get very stressed and she's like, Graham, do you know who I am? And Dad puts this grin on his face and he goes, yes, Rhonda, I know who you are. Oh, I was like, timing, Dad, timing. That is terrible timing. Anyway, just praying for, if I pray, I'm not sure, but I'm just really hoping for a full recovery and, you know, and I mean, for Mum's sake too, because, yeah, it's just, it's a lot of stress and a lot of anxiety. But what it has shown me is the last few years I have really developed a pretty deep resilience, and I don't know if that's a good thing, but it's a thing that I've noticed. So there you go. Now, on to the rest of what I wanted to talk about, which was me getting an assessment for autism. So this is a story in itself. Hang on, I'm just going to check that I am still recording. Yes. Okay, we are still recording. Okay, so in 2017, you may recall, because this podcast has been going for fucking long before that, but 2017 I ran a mastermind with Lisa Corduff and we had, I think it was 12 or 13, just really incredible women joined that first round. And one of them was Alison Davies. So Alison was a guest. I think she's been a guest. Oh, she's been a guest on this podcast. And I also, had her on Make Some Noise. Great episode. So if you're interested, go back long into the back catalogue. When I was doing interviews on this show, I interviewed Alison Davies and Make Some Noise. Yeah. Go and check out the interview with her. It's like really great. I love Alison. She's just such a legend. And when she was in our mastermind, she was talking about her being autistic. And while she was explaining it, I was kind of like, oh, that sounds like me a bit. That's interesting. I didn't really think much more about it. And over the years, I've done a little bit more research on autism and I've learned a bit more about, you know, neurotypes and neurodivergence generally. And and a lot of it is like, wow, okay, that actually sounds a lot like me. It's so interesting because I feel like when I only know my own experience of life, like I can think about other people's experience of life, but I don't know what it's like to live in another body, in another brain. I wish we did sometimes because I feel like we would have so much more compassion if we understood things from being like inside someone else's brain. Like I always think about that. But yeah, the more I was reading, the more I was resonating with it. And I have a number of friends who have been diagnosed with autism in the last few years. And we just have so much in common. So one thing that I think there were a couple of things that really made it more clear, I guess, to me that maybe this was a thing for me was a little while ago, I don't even know when, but like in the last few years, I listened to it on Audible, which is just as valid as reading people, The Divergent Mind. And in that they talk about like, so they go through ADHD, they go through a bunch of different kind of things, right? So they go through ADHD. I was listening to that and I was like, oh yeah, oh no, I'm not really, yeah, oh no, you know, like, so I'm going through all of this like little checklist and some of it was like, yeah, but most of it was like, not most of it, but like a portion of it just didn't really land. I could see it in other people, but I couldn't really see it necessarily in myself. And then I got to the autism chapter and with the little checklist thing that she does at the end of one of the of that chapter, and it was just like, yes, yes, oh my god, that's me, yes, 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 yes. I was just like nodding along the entire time, every single thing, yep, oh my god, I experienced that, yes, wow, okay, this, oh my god, wow, okay. But I still thought, isn't this everyone? Doesn't everyone experience this? And no, not everyone does. Not everyone does. And yeah, and so that was like a real light bulb moment. And then I actually at Writers Festival last year, at Byron Writers Festival, I took Mabes to the Big Kids Day thing, and there was an author, God, I can't remember the book, but she had written a book from an autistic child's perspective. And while I was reading it to Mabes at night, I was thinking to myself, oh my God, this is so much like me. This is so much like me. And, you know, and that was just like another light bulb. So I've had like all of these little accumulative light bulbs of just strongly resonating with all of the things. And then, you know, a few autistic friends have been like, yeah, how did you not know, kind of thing. And I guess like, so I wasn't, so I tossed up whether I was going to bother getting diagnosed or not, because, you know, it's not a problem to be fixed. It's just the way my brain functions. And so I wasn't really sure what a diagnosis would give me other than maybe confirmation of what I really already know myself. There is a little seed of doubt still because I'm like, I don't know, you know, like when I've talked, it's so interesting because when I talk to my autistic friends, they're like, yes, self-diagnosis is totally fine and there's no doubt in my mind, you know. But when I talk to people who don't necessarily have an understanding of autism or neurodivergence in any way, they, you know, a lot of people still do have that image of the young boy version of autism, right? And not all autism, there's different presentations based on, you know, well, gender. So some of that I think is socially conditioned and some of it may be just actually inherently different between males and females. I'm not sure about that, but generally girls and women present very differently. And so, you know, it hasn't been picked up throughout a lot of our lives. And so sometimes I'm having conversations with people and they're like, yeah, but, you know, you don't seem autistic. You don't look autistic. You don't sound autistic. You don't, you know, but you don't have any problems talking to people, or like you're very empathetic. And it's like, yeah, I am all those things. I do, but also what you don't see is what's happening inside. And this is the interesting thing, right? I watched a woman speak at Byron Writers Festival this weekend. The book is called Growing into Autism. Sandra, name is escaping me, but I went to her session with Mandy Nolan, and just like some of the things that she was saying, she mentioned about when she was a kid, she had this cup, and it was like a yellow cup or something, and she was very attached to this cup. And I had the same thing. I had a purple cup, and my cousin and I used to fight over this purple cup. And a lot of my family would tease me, and we still talk about the fucking purple cup now, you know, but like I was very attached to this particular purple cup. And, you know, and that can be like autistic people can sometimes be attached to material things. And, you know, obviously this cup was my material thing and yellow cup was hers. And then I spoke to another a friend who is autistic yesterday, and she was saying, oh my God, yes, I had a cup too. And so, that was just another kind of confirming, life affirming thing. And then she also mentioned how autism, when it comes to a lot of young girls, particularly girls of, you know, older generations where we were really raised to be the good girl, polite, quiet, you know, there's a lot that's going on internally for people that we don't see. And so my external presentation isn't necessarily representative of what's going on inside me. Like you can't see when I'm struggling, or maybe you can. I don't know. I don't know if people can see it, but sometimes they can. Like, for example, I get very flustered when there's a lot of stimulus coming at me. And so say, for example, and my anxiety, like, you know, my anxiety starts to build and build and build, and then there's a lot of stuff going on. So, for example, when I first started working with Listener, I was in the studio one day, and it was my first record, and there was a lot of anxiety about that, because what if I fucked it up? What if I didn't press the right buttons? What if I, you know, forgot to save it to the hard drive? What if I, like, there was a lot of things that could have gone wrong. It was a new environment. I didn't have all the information that I needed. And so without all that information, I kind of go into a bit of overwhelm and meltdown, and, you know, and I was trying to control everything that I could, but with the mixture of like making sure that I had everything covered, and the music that's piped through the building, and the fluoro lighting, and the, you know, and then people talking to me, and it's like too much, and I get very, 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 very flustered. And people see that. And the thing is, when that flusteredness happens for me, I feel like, and I've copped this a lot of in my life about like how I'm overreacting, and I'm just, what that is I'm just not coping. It's not me being dramatic. It's me physically, my brain is physically melting down from just too much information at once. And I feel like we all experience overwhelm. And this is the thing that sometimes gets in the way of me actually, you know, having fully embraced a self-diagnosis of autism, is that seed of doubt that maybe it is just me overreacting. Maybe people just cope better than I do. And there's something wrong with me. But I think what this process is giving me is an understanding that actually there is nothing wrong with me. It's that life sometimes expects things from me that I can't deliver very well. And, you know, and I've built a lot of scaffolding in my life that helps me cope, but it does still, you know, what is going on inside isn't necessarily what's happening outside. Like if you've ever been in a session with me or like, you know, like a group session, if I'm running a group, that's another time when my anxiety is high because I don't know what the outcome's going to be and there's a lot going on. And that's why I don't do live streams anymore because I'm watching myself and then people are interrupting me with their, you know, comments and questions and I'm like, yeah, it's just too much. Like it's just too much for me. So, okay, so the reason that I'm going down the assessment track is actually, I guess, mostly for the confirmation, you know, like actually, yes, from a professional's perspective, yes, you are autistic. From a work perspective, I think it will also help me too, maybe. I don't know. Like one of the things that Sandra actually said was like, Sometimes sharing your diagnosis is helpful and other times it's harmful. So this is a really interesting thing, right? Like when you share something like that, then people bring their own stuff to it. So their understanding of autism, which is often that, you know, I know this is used a lot, but the little boy with the, you know, sitting in the corner with the train set, you know, like that kind of image comes to mind. And so then people start treating you differently and with pity. And I think that's part of the reason why maybe I haven't gone down the route until now, because I don't want people to look at me differently. I am a capable person. I am highly intelligent. I am really, really creative. There are so many things that about my brain that are so incredible. And sometimes it doesn't cope in certain situations. And that doesn't make me any less than any neurotypical person. It just makes me different. And so part of the reason that I'm getting the diagnosis is just for my own state of mind. But the other part is to help me advocate for myself, to help me better advocate for myself from a work environment perspective. You know, like working in the office, while I'm totally fine to do that every now and then, like it's not the kind of environment that I could function in all the time. Like I'm self-motivated. I can get the work done and I can do that at home, you know? So just to help me better self-advocate for myself and my needs because they should be accommodated. I shouldn't have to suffer because things are expected of me that I don't necessarily have the capacity to deliver or deal with, if that makes sense. So that's kind of where things are at for me right now. It has been a pretty wild week and I am really looking forward to this assessment. And so I'm having that next Thursday. I'll let you know how it all goes. But besides this dad thing, life has been really good. And so I guess just send all your love, healing and prayers to my dad and to my mum. And I will come back with an update soon. I do feel like, you know, it's so interesting because this podcast has been with me now for 8 years and every week, or more than that, actually, eight years. And most of that, it was weekly. And that actually was part of my regulation, I guess, is like I am a bit of an oversharer. And then the years that I had while we moved through Miko's surgery, and then last year was particularly heinous for me. Just myself, my nervous system was completely shot and I was not functioning very well. And, you know, I've got a lot that I want to talk about. in regards to how life is just not really set up to support us through really tough moments. Capitalism has a lot to answer for, and I'm going to be exploring that for sure. But I don't have the capacity right now to return to a weekly schedule, but I am playing with a few ideas, and hopefully I can come back with some guests on some topics that I'm really interested in exploring, like, well, feminism, capitalism, you know, the patriarchy, all that good stuff or not good stuff. So, yeah, stay tuned and peace out. Carlos and peace. I'm Carly Nimmo.